That we would start off today. We plan on covering Matthew 2, which is the second part of Jesus as a young babe. A young child is how he's described here. He's no longer a babe as he's described in Luke. And before we study the passage, I thought we would go over two things that come up here in this Matthew account. And now, neither one of these two things are mentioned at all in Luke, obviously because they did not happen while Jesus was a babe and just born. But first is a star. There's no prophecy in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, about any star, about the Messiah. But there's this star that appears that is obviously a divine revealing and given by God. And there is not one, none of the Jews in Jerusalem pick up on anything about this star. So obviously this star was not for them. But there were some responders that noticed this star, obviously knew about it, and these were these people called the wise men. But so, right off, we can infer that because this star is not recorded anything about it in the Old Testament, this was not for the people, the Hebrews of Jerusalem. They were obviously for some other people. And the people that responded, described in the text as wise men from the east. Now that is all that we know. Wise men from the east. Now, what that means is we can eliminate some of the other thoughts that people have had through the centuries. I looked up briefly on the internet. Number one, I think on the internet, everything that I pulled up just on a real fast search was they call them kings. Now, they're obviously not kings. Wise men were not kings. Kings were, wise men worked for kings. And we get this example out of Egypt. You know, you had Pharaoh the king, but then you had the wise men that were underneath and they were working for the king. And same thing in Daniel's day, when they had the Babylonian captivity. Here it was, you had the king, Nebuchadnezzar, and then you had these wise men that were underneath the king working for the king. So, wise men are not the kings. Kings hire wise men or have them work for them. Okay, so, you know, that song, "We Three Kings of the Orient Are," that is false. Okay, so we can eliminate that. These are not kings that showed up here. Now, also, since they're wise men from the east, we can eliminate they didn't come from the south, they didn't come from the west, they didn't come from the north. Now, as I did the quick search on the internet, there are two things that popped up. One was one of these kings, they said, came from Saudi Arabia. Well, this is the down here east of Egypt, and this is the area, and I had it in my head, of where Moses went, Midian. Midian is where in Saudi Arabia, here in this area, which is south of Jerusalem. So it couldn't be Saudi Arabia there. So that is out. And they even have one of these kings coming from Ethiopia, which that is 1 to 2,000 miles to the south, way down here in the south, south of Egypt down here, maybe to the east over here. So it's definitely not that. Then they also, now the most prominent thought is that they came from modern day Iran, but in that time it's called Medo-Persia. So here, this shows Media right here and Persia right up in here. But this is modern day Iran. And now they had these wise men known as Zoroastrians, and they were stargazers. So, you know, thinking of that, you think, well, boy, that is probably it. And then they also had, of course they always have that there's three. And just all we know about the three, there were three gifts that were given to Jesus. Not three men. All we know is there was more than one wise man because it's plural. So there were two or more. That's all that we know on the number. And not three. There might have been three, but there could have been 10, 20, 50. There could have been a whole group of people coming. We don't. All we know is there's more than one. But anyway, they had one of these wise, they called them kings. It even came from India, which now, that's from the east too, so that would fit. Okay. Now, as far as my thinking and how I navigated to where I am now, the first time I was introduced to this, I had no...
I was floored, and whenever I found out all about that, what we'd been told all and thought all through the years of society, it was wrong. And I was flabbergasted. I didn't realize that we were being deceived so much as we are. But really, what this ought to be an eye-opener to all of us, to be like the Bereans were in Acts 17, and to verify on our own the things we were taught. See, the Apostle Paul was going around teaching people. He shows up in Berea. They didn't take what he said, just take it and go on. They searched the scriptures to make sure what he was telling them were so. And you know what God called them? They were more noble than all of the other people that Paul was going around teaching. Anyway, this is a lesson to us that we need to verify the things that we're being taught. Otherwise, we're probably being deceived. And this is a prime example of deception. But as far as possibilities that'll fit the narrative of who these are, the man that introduced this to me, he came up with this common view that these were Zoroastrians. That they're a pagan religion. In fact, they're still around today. I've heard about them. There's even a famous singer that came from a family that were Zoroastrian. But anyway, and came from this Iran area. And they're still around today. But anyway, that never really made much sense to me. Why would God... Because obviously God got this message to these wise men. Otherwise, there's no way they would have known a thing about it. No one else knew anything about it in the whole world. These were the only ones. Why would God be giving a message to pagans of a pagan religion that always were a pagan religion? So that didn't make much sense. Then, about 15 years ago, I was down in Fort Worth, and the congregation there, Brown Trail, had a yearly lectureship. And that particular year, they had four days through Wednesday on the book of Daniel. So, and I think this was early on. I think this was on the Monday lecture. And there was a man that was going over Daniel chapter 1. Well, I don't really remember. He was just going through the text. I don't remember hardly anything about what all that he said, except what pointed out to me, it was just wise men, wise men, wise men, wise men all over the place, all through that whole chapter 1. And then Daniel even becomes the head of the wise men. And I knew that Daniel, starting in Daniel chapter 2, prophesied from there all the way through about the kingdom. And anytime you have a kingdom, you have a king. So he's one of these messianic prophets.
talking more about the kingdom than the actual Messiah himself. But he's also, as we covered about this 70 weeks, was covering right to when Jesus was going to be crucified. So he talked about the Messiah too in these prophecies. And so what my thought was at that time that hit me, this is probably where, this is the most likely where they came from. Was not up here, kind of, would be northeast, but it was more nearly due east, exactly here from the Babylon. Because this is where, and we see it's just near Babylon, the city of Babylon is nearly due east, just a little bit north. And just 500 miles east is what this is across this desert. Arabian desert there. But anyway, then, and what my thought process was, is that God also revealed to him, very likely, that never got put into the Hebrew Bible, that there would be a star as a sign of when the Messiah was born. And then the people at that time, they could go to Jerusalem. That's all that they knew. They just showed up in Jerusalem. They didn't know anything else. They knew that the Messiah had been born, and now we've come to Jerusalem, and we want to worship him. Now, Glenn helped me with the last change on that to be where it would have just been passed down from the wise men, where Daniel saved all wise men because King Nebuchadnezzar was going to assassinate all the wise men, but he saved all of their lives by prophesying, correctly interpreting the dream that he had. Otherwise, the king was going to kill all the wise men. And so, as a result of that, Daniel became the head of all of the wise men. So, then it could have been God revealed about this star when the Messiah would be born, and it got passed down through the nearly 600 years later, and then there was still this remnant of wise men here in Babylon, and they show up. Now, what Glenn kind of helped me, and this is my thought at this time. Daniel never left. Here he was, a Hebrew, captured from Jerusalem, taken as a young boy, probably a teenager, 13, 14, 15-year-old boy. And here he was about 90 when he died. Well, the captivity was ended, and most of the Hebrews went back to Jerusalem. Daniel never did. And then what Glenn opened my eyes or educated me about, there were a number of Jews, a remnant of, you know, maybe a small number, that never went back. They stayed right there. They stayed in. They had already been there for so many years. They had gone into the culture, assimilated into the culture and system. They didn't go back to Jerusalem. And Daniel was one of these. He died here in Babylon. And so, and Glenn's thought, that he had this same thought, that these were not Gentile wise men that just passed down through the centuries about this star, but very likely these were Hebrews themselves, and this remnant that never returned, and they stayed here, but they knew about, of course, they knew about Daniel because he was the prominent man in that whole time frame, and they were talking about, of course, them, and that in the days of what would become the Roman Empire, God would create, establish a kingdom that would never be destroyed. And then they would know when the Messiah was born, when you just come to Jerusalem. That's the capital of the Hebrews, capital city, and that's exactly what they did. So, my thought now on who these people were, who these wise men were, are from Babylon, not from Iran, definitely not from India. All these were pagans. It makes no sense to me why God would reveal something about the Messiah being born to pagans. But it makes total sense of Hebrews and send them and let them know just whenever the star appears. They didn't know anything else other than just go to Jerusalem and worship him. They also brought three gifts. Why even do this with the wise men? What would even be the purpose of this? Well, as a result of how things unfolded providentially, obviously, this fulfilled prophecies from the Old Testament that out of Egypt I called my child. Without the wise men showing up to Jerusalem, talking to King Herod, then that is what kicked off the series of events that ended up that then God talked to Joseph, because Herod was going to kill the Messiah, and said, take the young child to Egypt. And so they stayed here for some time until King Herod died. And then God told Joseph, okay, the man who was going to kill the Messiah is dead now, so now you can go back. And so that fulfilled the prophecy that out of Egypt I called my son. Now, with these three gifts, what would be the purpose of these three gifts? Which is very likely why God had them show up. We know the economic status is very poor of Joseph and Mary because of the two turtle doves that they gave as a sacrifice after Jesus was 40 days old in the temple, the sin offering for Mary. And here they are going to be fugitives in a foreign country. Let's just think of us. If all of a sudden, like right now or tonight, we had to go to Mexico or South America, well, you know, you need funds. And these wise men brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All three of those are valuable, which, in my opinion, my thought, definitely this gold, it is still used as a universal currency today, but it has been, probably since the beginning of time, but it definitely was in here. Anywhere you went, anyone would take gold for payment of anything. So that would have helped finance their trip. And then the frankincense and myrrh, they were expensive gifts. One's oil, one is that you burn an incense thing that smells good. But both of those gifts were anointing oils or a candle incense burning that was fit for a king. So they may have used that right there as they were worshiping Jesus as they showed up. So that might have been used up then. But if it wasn't, if nothing else, Joseph and Mary could have sold that along the way, or once they got over here to Egypt, and turn that into money to help them stay during that time. But anyway, these are thoughts that to me is a logical and sensible thought of where and who that these wise men very likely are, which makes much more sense. We can easily knock out, did not come from Egypt, did not come from Saudi Arabia. They're not from the east. Those are all from the south. And then even that would be from the east of this Persians or Indians, well, the pagans, that doesn't make any sense to me. But this makes the most sense. These were Hebrews that never returned from the Babylonian captivity back to Jerusalem. And these wise men stayed in this order of Daniel and studied Daniel's teachings that obviously was maybe more than what got recorded in the book of Daniel. And he lived much longer past the time that he wrote the book of Daniel. but either got that or maybe they were still righteous Hebrews and God gave this divine revelation straight to them. But to me, these were probably Hebrews that came from Babylon. Makes the most sense. Any questions or comments on any of this?